Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something proper heavy, a stepper hoover stab bounce formula in Ableton Live 12 that channels old school jungle and DNB energy, but still hits clean and modern in the mix. The big idea is simple, but the execution is everything. We're not just making a bassline. We're making a conversation between two layers. The sub carries the weight, the hoover stab carries the attitude, and the rhythm between them creates that floor-shaking bounce that makes a drop feel alive. In drum and bass, especially jungle and darker steppers, the low end can't just be loud. It has to be disciplined. The drums need room to crack. The snare needs to stay punchy, and the bass has to move around the break without turning the whole thing into mud. So think of this lesson as mixing and arrangement at the same time, because in DNB, those two things are basically the same job. First rule, start with the drums. Don't write bass in a vacuum. Build your break, your kick, your snare, and your hats first. Get a strong snare on 2 and 4, and make sure the kick is tight and short enough that the sub can own the very bottom. If the drum groove is already locked in, the bass line can be more syncopated and more aggressive without sounding messy. A good target here is to have the drums feeling solid before bass even enters. Leave yourself headroom. You want the drum sitting clearly, not smashing the master before the bass shows up. And listen to the snare closely, because in jungle and old school DNB, the snare is often the real anchor of the groove. The bass should open space around it, not smother it. Now let's build the sub. Create a new MIDI track and load operator or wavetable. For the sub, keep it simple. You want a sine style or triangle style foundation, mono, clean, and focused. Set the amp envelope with a fast attack, a fairly short decay, and a release that stays tight. The idea is not a long booming note. The idea is a controlled hit that supports the break. Drop a utility after it and set the width to 0% so the sub stays mono. That's non-negotiable. If your sub gets wide, it starts fighting the center of the mix and the whole low end can collapse. Write a pattern that feels like it's reacting to the drums. A classic stepper feel often lands with the bass on beat 1, then a response somewhere between the kick and snare, then another answer after the snare. It doesn't need to be complicated. In fact, the best patterns are often deceptively simple. 3 or 4 good notes can carry a whole section if the rhythm is right. Keep the note lengths fairly short. Let the bass breathe. Jungle and DNB bass lines feel powerful partly because they leave gaps. Those gaps make the next hit feel heavier. If the sub feels too pure and disappears on smaller systems, add a light saturator. Just a little drive, not a full destruction pass. We want a few harmonics so the note reads on headphones and smaller speakers, but we do not want fuzz swallowing the fundamental. A touch of saturation can make a huge difference. Now for the second character in the system, the hoover stab. This is your attitude layer. This is where the old school flavor lives. Make a second MIDI track and use wavetable or analog. Start with saws, maybe a saw and a pulse, slightly detuned. Give it a resonant low-pass filter and shape the envelope so it opens quickly and closes fast. You want it to stab, not smear. The hoover should live in the mid-range, not down in the sub-territory. It should feel like a mid-range exhale, a bark, a shout, a call. Think of it as the rhythmic identity of the bassline. The sub is the weight. The hoover is the motion and personality. Here's a really important coaching note. Treat the bass as two different instruments with one job. The sub handles weight. The hoover handles motion and identity. If either one starts trying to do the other's job, simplify it. Now comes the bounce formula. The bounce happens when the sub and hoover answer each other instead of landing on the exact same spots all the time. So instead of stacking both layers on every hit, separate their roles. Let the sub hit on the grounded moments and let the hoover fill the gaps, answer the kick, or snap in after the snare. A really effective starting idea is this. Let the sub establish the root on beat 1. Then let the hoover stab appear after the kick, or before the snare, or in the little pocket after the snare lands. That call and response is classic jungle language. It makes the groove feel composed, not just looped. And don't forget velocity. Velocity is not just about loudness. It's groove. Even tiny changes in velocity on the stab layer can make the pattern feel played rather than programmed. You can also micro-shift the timing a little bit. Move one stab slightly ahead in one phrase, slightly behind in the next. That subtle push and pull can bring the whole bass line to life, without making it sloppy. If you want a very practical way to think about the first 8 bars, try this. Bars 1 and 2 establish the groove. Bars 3 and 4 add a little variation. Bars 5 and 6 remove a hit for tension. And bars 7 and 8 answer with a fuller phrase or a small fill. That way the loop breathes like a real section instead of repeating like a sample file. Now let's separate the low end properly. On the sub track, Use EQ8 only if you need to clean up any unnecessary top or low mid muddiness. Keep the sub focused on the Hoover stab track. High pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the patch. If the low end is still getting cloudy, push the high pass higher until the kick and sub stop fighting. The Hoover should never be stealing the sub's job. If the stab feels harsh against the hats or snare, cut a bit around the upper bite region, somewhere in the high mids, but don't neuter it. This style needs some edge. Then put the base layers on a bus if you want to glue them together gently. A glue compressor can help, but only a little. We're talking subtle control, not obvious pumping. A dB or two of gain reduction is usually enough. Slow attack, medium release, just enough to make the layers feel like one system. At this stage, always check the relationship between drums and bass, not just the bass by itself. A bass line can sound massive soloed and still fail in context. If the snare loses its crack, or the kick disappears, the bass is probably too wide, too long, or too dominant in the wrong part of the spectrum. Now add movement, but keep the center solid. Use modulation on the Hoover layer, not the sub. A little auto-filter automation on the stab can make the phrase open up and close down in a way that feels musical. You can also use a tiny bit of chorus or phaser on the stab only, if you want a more warehouse or neural-leaning edge. Keep it subtle. The goal is movement, not seasickness. One of the best tricks here is automation at phrase ends. Open the cutoff a little on the last stab of every four bars. Lift the resonance slightly before a switch up. Maybe shorten or lengthen one note in the final bar. These small changes can make the loop feel like it's breathing and evolving. If you really want control, resample the bass combo to audio. This is an advanced but very useful move. Route the sub and stab to a new audio track. Record a few bars, and then edit the resulting audio. Now you can trim tails, tighten transients, create tiny pickups, or even reverse a stab for a little jungle-style surprise. A lot of the best bass phrases feel like edited performances, not just MIDI loops. Printing to audio helps you hear the actual impact against the break. Then comes the final balance move, subtle sidechain or note shaping. In this style, you usually do not want huge EDM-style pumping. If you use a compressor sidechained from the kick, keep it subtle. Just enough ducking to let the kick punch through. Alternatively, you can simply edit the note lengths so the bass leaves tiny gaps around the kick. That often sounds cleaner and more authentic in DNB. The snare should still crack through the bass line. If the bass is too continuous, too sustained, or too compressed, the groove loses its separate feel. The bass should behave like a rhythmic instrument, not like a wall of noise. Now think about arrangement. Don't leave this as just an 8-bar loop. Make it work like a real track section. Start with an intro where the bass is filtered or teased. Bring in the full sub and Hoover for the drop. After a while, remove a note or strip the Hoover for a bar to create tension. Then bring it back with a slight variation. Maybe add a 1-bar break fill before the next section. Maybe let the sub hit alone for a moment while the snare keeps pushing. That contrast is what keeps old-school jungle and stepper bass lines exciting. Dense section, lean section, dense section again. It breathes, but it still hits hard. Here are a few quick pro moves if you want this to feel even more dangerous. Print the Hoover to audio and hit it with saturation or a bit of amp-style grit, but keep the sub clean. Add a tiny noise click or filtered transient under the stab if it needs more attack. Use ghost notes in the sub sparingly to add motion, without changing the identity of the bass line. And check the whole thing in mono regularly, because width tricks can fool you. If the bass collapses in mono, it's not ready yet. Also, check it at low volume. This is a huge test. If the groove still reads when you turn the monitors down, then the rhythmic relationship and the harmonics are doing their job. That means the line is strong, not just loud. One more thing. Vary by subtraction as much as by addition. Removing one expected hit can be more powerful than adding a fill. A missing note every 8 bars can create more tension than a busy edit. And if you want a really effective transition, try alternating the root and fifth on the sub for 1 bar. It gives a lift without rewriting the whole line. So the formula is this. Build the drums first. Keep the sub mono, short, and controlled. Use the Hoover stab as a mid-range character layer. Make the bass answer the break instead of fighting it. Separate roles with EQ, note length, and stereo control. Add movement with automation and phrasing. And keep checking the mix in mono, at low volume, and against the drums. If you do it right, you'll end up with a bass line that feels like old-school jungle pressure with modern low-end authority. Tight, intentional, and alive. For your practice run, try this. Make an 8-bar loop with kick, snare, hats, and one chopped break. Build a mono sub using just three notes. Add one Hoover stab layer with a short filter envelope. Write a call and response phrase so the sub and stab don't hit the exact same spot more than once per bar. High pass the stab until the drums breathe better. Add one automation move only, like cutoff or saturation. Then render it and check it in mono. That's the mission. Not just to make a bass loop, but to make a drop fragment that feels like it came from a real jungle or stepper tune. Alright, let's build that floor shaker.